Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. That's where we'll begin. But later in the sermon, we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if you'll mark that spot too. Galatians 5 and 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're concluding the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. And then tonight we'll discuss temperance. Against such, there is no law. Temperance is a virtue that we as Christians must have, and if we are following God's inspired word, we will have. The Greek word for temperance means the dominion which one has over oneself or something. In our talk, it's self-control. The ability to control self. The works of the flesh listed in verse 21, if you look at it, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Even before that, in verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Friends, these things are committed when we lack what? Self-control. That word temperance should not be understood exclusively to refer to abstinence of the use of some specific thing. Actually, this pertains to all things in life. There are some things that we can do that are not inherently sinful, but if we do not have self-control of those things, can become sinful. It can become an idol in our lives. And so we must do this to have self-control, and we will have these things if we allow God's Word to lead us in life. We need to build a wall. A wall of self-control. And we have 2 points for tonight's sermon. Why, or the purpose of building this wall. And that's for number one. We need a wall for defense. That's what walls do. Walls keep out the bad things, but they also keep in the good things. Proverbs writer says this, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down. And what? Without walls. So we're talking about a man who can't control himself. He has no rule over his own spirit. When temptation shows its ugly head, he does not fight. He gives in. But this also teaches us about another man by implication, the wise and virtuous man. You see, the wise man controls himself. He controls his appetites. He controls his passions. He does not allow them to rebel against reason and his conscience, if you will. He has control of his thoughts. He has control of his desires and inclinations and resentments, which, by the way, when we do these things and keep practicing, it takes effort. It doesn't just automatically happen. This is something that we must practice. We must build a wall of self-defense. It keeps the bad things out. It keeps the good things in. If one's wall of self-control are broken down, all that is good goes out and forsakes him. All that is evil breaks in. He's vulnerable to every temptation. And to the devil, he becomes easy prey. And he's liable to be in many troubles and displeasures in his life. So we must build a wall. Now, self-control is related in many areas. Self-control in our speech. We need to build walls of self-controls in our speech. Again, we'll go through a lot of Proverbs tonight. The first one here that we're going to use, Proverbs 17 and 27. He that hath knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Proverbs 18 and 21. Death and life are in the power of where? Of what? the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. It's so interesting, yet so tragic, that a small member of our bodies can cause so much irreparable damage in this life. So we need to build a wall of self-control in our speech, number one. Number two, anger. We need to build walls of self-control in our anger. And anger within itself is not sinful, but it must be under control. We can't let anger build up inside, if you will. We cannot let the sun go down upon our wrath. We have to remain, or we not let anger remain and become settled, and just all of a sudden there's an explosion. Proverbs again, 16 and 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that rules his spirit than he that takes a city. 29 and 11, a fool utters all his mind, but a wise man keeps it in till afterwards. He's slow to speak. He controls his anger. So number one, speech. Number two, anger, self-control, also in money. Well, some may ask, well, what do you mean by that? Well, isn't it true that sometimes we can go overboard and sometimes overspend of what we have? Or sometimes when we overspend, we try to work longer and harder to gain more money and more money. And we are, what are we doing with it? Spending it and spending it and spending it. Well, Proverbs 23, 4 and 5 says, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Self-control in our money. Now, there are two extremes to this. There are ones who have holes in their pocket, if you will. As soon as they make a penny, it goes right out the door and goes to whatever retail or whatnot for a material that they want. But there's also the other extreme, to where they are so tight, they are willing to not spend the money on things that they need, like maybe perhaps health care items or things like that. There are two extremes when it comes to money, so we need to build self-control in our money. And also this, and we discussed this morning, so I won't get too much into it, and that's temptation. Build walls of self-control when it comes to temptation. We discussed this morning that temptation will happen in our lives. Things happen in our lives, and we may have a tendency to go off the deep end if we allow it to. But if we build a wall of self-control, we'll have the ability to escape those temptations. Proverbs 1 and 10 says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Don't consent to the enticement of the temptations. It's going to come, but if we have that wall of self-control, we'll be just fine. Now, that is the purpose. We must build a wall to keep the good things in and the bad things out. Now, how, number two, to build that wall, and this is the production. This is the production, and there's a list there, and this is where we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to read some verses together beginning at verse 24. Production. Number one, how do I build a wall of self-control? Number one, make God your priority. Make God your priority. Read with me verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Of course, Paul is referring to the Isthmian Games held near Corinth every year. It's kind of like the Olympics, if you will. In these races that were run, there may have been many competitors and there could only be one winner. But in the Christian race, friends, every participant can win. We're not striving against each other. We're not racing each other and say, who gets to heaven first? They're the winner. No, that's not the way it goes. We're not striving against each other, but against our own weakness. We're racing against our own weakness, our own enticements of the flesh and spirit. And the real enemy in this race, not one another, but the devil. And so Paul encourages us to run that we, you and I, may attain the prize. Now look at 25. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Each of the participants in this earthly physical race, they're going to be willing to endure everything possible in preparation for this race. And they may do extreme exercises. They may have certain diets so that they can gain advantage in this physical race. But what did he say about their prize? It's corruptible. It's only temporary. It has, compared to what you and I have, very little value. And so, because the runners of this race here on earth are temperate for their physical race, you and I must be temperate in all things that are right. We strive, we train, we focus, we study, we do all those things so that we can race. We must totally abstain from everything that is evil of itself. Get rid of the enemy. And the price, or the prize rather, not price, but the prize is worth the price. It's worth the sacrifice. It's worth the effort that you and I will put in. Look at verse 26. I, therefore, so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beats the air. You see, an athlete who's very serious, he's not going to allow indifference, if you will, to enter into the training or the contest. Sometimes we may sign our little ones up for a little league baseball or soccer or whatever, and they're so young, they don't really understand what's going on. And sometimes, at least I know one of my children, he'll just stand there and just watch the ball go by. And if it gets to him, he may raise his foot to kick the ball, whatnot. He's indifferent, okay? He's not trying to win the game. He's a little one, okay? And thank God for that. If we can develop that attitude to where we're not trying to beat somebody, but we're trying to just have fun, that's what we need. But sometimes here on this earth, here people are not indifferent. They are going to go after it. They're going to do all that it takes to win. Some people will go to the extreme and take narcotics to gain the advantage. But here, we're not indifferent in the spiritual world. Christians are not indifferent. There is a real goal to gain here. We have everything to lose. But the enemy, the good news is, can be defeated. And finally, verse 27, look what he says here, related to self-control, because he makes God his priority. But I keep under my body and bring it into what? What do you see there? What's that word? Subjection. I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Friends, if my desires are wrong, I must deny them. I have to deny self. My appetites have to be controlled. Under what? Under the guidance of God's Word. I bring my body under subjection to God's will. Let God's Word characterize your life. So, number one, we must make God our priority. Number two, remember the possibility. Remember the possibility. And we talked about this again this morning. When he provides a way to escape, when you and I have been tempted, we're all facing temptations in this life. It did not come from God. God does not send the temptations. He doesn't push us to the edge and then stops. But instead, what does he do? He provides a way for escape. And yes, we'll have trials in this life, and yes, we'll be tested. But we have a way of escape, and thank God for His wisdom. Thank God for His Word, that you and I can have the opportunity to build and grow. Paul said this, Philippians 4, 11 and 13, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere." Everywhere in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And here's the reason why he can do these things. I can do all things through Christ, which what? You know the verse. Strengthens me. Paul was content. Whether he was in prison, whether he was in poverty, whether he was in prosperity, whenever he was in great need, he learned to be content in all areas of life. It's a blessing to not worry about daily needs. And why can Paul be content? Because of his union with Christ. He can endure temptations. He can endure trials. He can endure adversity. But alone, these things are impossible. But with Christ, they are very much possible. We too must have this great faith so that we can practice self-control. Those who cannot be content cannot practice self-control. Think about it. When I'm angry and I'm not content with that anger, what do I want? I want my anger to be avenged. Maybe I'll do something extreme and can't control myself or say something that I will regret later. Control myself. What about money and materials? There's some things where I might feel like, you know what, I just got to have it. And then that's all I do is I think about it over and over again. And then I'm online shopping and looking at it over and over again. And I'm not thinking about anything else when I should be thinking about things that are important and not things that I don't need. I could lose control of time. Number three, finally, the production. Practice what is preached. Make God your priority. Remember that it is possible. And then finally, practice what is preached. Look what Paul told Timothy, and we'll close with this verse here. Flee also youthful lust. But look at this here. We're going to break this down. Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Notice he said, follow righteousness. Follow righteousness. Living right in obedience to God's will. Live up to His standard. Psalm 119, 172. He said, follow faith also. Faith comes by what? Learning God's Word. We can follow righteousness when we follow God's Word and we develop that faith. And then we can maintain that faithfulness through life. Next, he says, follow charity. Follow charity. Love is another word for charity. Love is not just an emotion. It's a way of life. Love will not permit me to do evil to other people. Follow in that direction. If we love God, by the way, how do we show our love for God? By keeping His commandments, which are righteous. John 14 and 15. And then finally, he says this, follow peace. Promote peace. There's no desire to have strife with anyone, which is difficult. Because when we follow Christ, others may turn against us. Though they're striving against us, we are seeking peace for them. Self-control is related to all these things. It's guided by God's Word. Someone said this, and this is really, really well said. Don't trade what you want most for what you want right now. Don't trade what you want most for what you want right now. I want you to think about that for a second. If we have self-control, we won't do that. We can see the outcome before we commit the sin. We will control ourselves and know what's at stake. Friends, our souls are at stake. What do we want most? We want heaven. Heaven. Sin, you know, our flesh may desire sin right now, which could cost us what we want most. We have too much to lose. And so the question is right now, friends, do you have self-control? Is it guided by God's Word? Do you have eternal life? Only you can answer that question. I can't answer it for you. God has provided a way to escape sin. He's provided a way to escape temptation. We can become His child tonight if you so choose. Faith comes by hearing and hearing His Word, Romans 10:17. Do you believe that? Do you believe in Jesus? Then do what He says. Jesus said Himself that we must repent. He also said that we must confess who He is. And He'll confess us before the Father, which is in heaven. And after that great confession, Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, Mark 16:16. Are you in Christ? That's the most important place we need to be, right here and right now. If you're not in Christ, we hope that you'll choose to do so before it's everlasting too late. Come forward as we stand and sing.